Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you today, coming your way from Black River Landing at the Lorain International Festival. Later on tonight, Cleveland Indians baseball will return to the airwaves. The Tribe taking on the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards. We are going to talk Tribe in just a second here with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, but we want to remind you that courtesy of our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. When we wrap up with Rosie, we are going to give away a couple of tickets to see the Tribe take on the Detroit Tigers on Wednesday, July 17th. We'll open up those phone lines in just a bit. Rosie, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bull. How you doing?
So far, so good. Well, things are going really well right now for the Tribe, playing extraordinarily good baseball heading into the All-Star break. And I think the first name that comes up would be Jason Kipnis. Boy, this recent surge he has been on has just been remarkable. He mentioned that he made a minor adjustment, and he's not really saying what that is, and we certainly can't blame him for that. But do you think it's more the adjustment or the confidence that come of that that has really kind of kept him rolling?
No, I think it's the adjustment, Bull. You know, he was searching a little bit, just something with his hands that allows him to stay back. And I think what you've seen during this good stretch is not only some power, obviously, with some home runs, but a lot of his base hits going to left field and line drives, not just little flares, but, you know, hitting the ball hard to left. And that means he's keeping his hands back a little bit longer and really seeing the baseball. And he's always been able to drive the ball to the opposite field. When he does that, that's when he's been at his best. And I think that's what we've seen, and everything else kind of falls into place from there. So, you know, it goes back, I think it was that Saturday night in Detroit, actually on a strikeout, he said. He felt something really good there, even though he struck out, and has tried to stay with that in his, you know, pregame preparation and then carry that through to his at-bats. And that's really, I mean, gosh, this stretch is one of his better ones in recent years. So hopefully he can keep it going, and it's certainly a big key for the Indians' success offensively.
It certainly is, and if we can stick with that for just a moment, can you explain how that really adds more depth and length to the lineup? Because I think for the longest time there, we kept hearing, you know, the second half of that lineup, you know, usually five down through nine, it's a little bit rough. That's not the case anymore, and the numbers certainly reflect that. But I think a lot of that has to do with the success he's had, and it seems like that's really kind of spilled over to the guys hitting behind him in the order.
Absolutely, and gosh, you know, you look at that Royals series, and when the Indians were getting some good things done, and even over the weekend against the Tigers, a lot of times it was the bottom third of the order. Tyler Naquin's got it going pretty well. Jordan Luplow has had his moments. Roberto Perez hits down there, and he's been going real well. Mike Freeman had a good couple of games there earlier in the week after not playing a whole lot. So when you can get production in the American League at the bottom of the lineup, and especially for the Indians, if they can get hitters on base in the bottom of the lineup, then they come up, or they're on base for Francisco Lindor when the lineup turns over, and that's how he gets a lot of his RBIs. So, you know, it's just been a real positive. And look, any team in baseball is going to say we'd love to have a 1-9 approach and everybody going well. Well, the reality is not everybody's going to go well at the same time. But if you can get 5, 6, 7 of them going a little bit, that's pretty good. And I think that's where the Indians have been here for most of the month of June.
Yes, absolutely. And again, the numbers most definitely reflect that. I feel like this is a topic that we've tackled before, but I think it's worth bringing back again. You know, Jose Ramirez certainly had his struggles early in the year, and every now and again you look and you think to yourself, all right, maybe he's starting to turn the corner a bit. But, Rosie, there are games where maybe he's not hitting. He's still having really nice plate appearances, and he's finding his way on, and as quick as he is, we know the damage he can do once he gets on. But have you noticed, you know, a little bit of an uptick with Jose Ramirez? You feel like he's maybe getting closer to turning that corner?
Absolutely. I think he had an 11 or 12 game stretch where he was hitting over 300. Now, are the prolific power numbers that we've seen the last two seasons there? No, not yet. And they might not be. I mean, those were special seasons. Who knows? Maybe they were career years for him. But certainly, you know, I think it's fair to say he's a 20-homer guy who can drive in 80. You know, we probably got spoiled by the mid-30s on the home runs the last couple of years, or close to 30, and a little bit above that last year. But he's definitely getting closer and being an impact-type player in that lineup, and that's good to see.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, the much-anticipated debut of Bobby Bradley was this past Sunday, and Bobby Bradley looked really good his first couple of games, and I know he's only been with the team for a few days now, but Rosie, what are some of your early impressions on Bobby Bradley?
Really positive, Bull, and he has, you know, the last couple of games, he's welcome to the big leagues, here come the curveballs and sliders and all that, and he's had a tougher time, but I think that's the key, though, that get him up here and let him have some success, but also let him struggle a little bit and try and figure it out. Here's the thing that's impressive. He had that base hit his first time up and had that good game in his debut on Sunday. Went to look for him to do the interview the next day for the pregame show, and he was at his locker at about 3:15 or so, and I usually check in to see what's a good time for someone to spend 5 minutes or so. And he said, "Hey, I'm gonna go do my ground ball practice with Mike Sarbaugh and really work on my infield stuff for a while, and then I'm going into the cage with Ty Van Berkleel, the hitting coach, and then I'm gonna go back outside for regular batting practice. How about after regular batting practice?" And which worked out great, and my takeaway from that, and the point being, he realizes he's up here to work, and it was a day where he was DHing, and the plan was going in, and on those DH days, he'd really work hard on his defense, and he embraces that. Like, he's got a plan, it's a schedule, and it's really important to him, and he didn't want, he doesn't want any distractions in that, and that's awesome to see a young player have that kind of discipline. And, hey, we'll be there every day. Probably not. But, I think he's got a real good foundation, and there's people here supporting him in terms of the coaches in trying to get him better. So he'll have his stretches where he's going to strike out a lot, but I think he will really put in the work to get out of it and then get the most out of what he's doing. And when the Indians, they will be the beneficiaries of some hot stretches with him, and it'll be pretty impressive.
And it really seems like guys like him who have been up here, maybe not for too long, but when they get up here, they get a sense as to what the atmosphere is like. And I'm sure the atmosphere has changed at least a little bit, but Frankie Lindor said something a couple of days ago that really kind of struck me. And he mentioned that these young guys are coming up here, and Bobby Bradley's situation that you just described, he's hungry and he realizes he's here to work. Once you get a taste of this, you don't ever want to go back down. Now, nothing against Columbus or the AAA experience, but you really get the sense that with these young guys, they're up here to work and they're up here to do the best they can to make sure that they don't get sent back down. You get that presence, you get that sense with guys like Bradley and guys, of course, like Oscar Mercado as well?
I do, Bull, and maybe to kind of pile on that, I think any player doesn't want to go back to the minor leagues. But with this group, Mercado has talked about it. I haven't really talked about it with Bradley, but I sense it. And some of the pitchers who come up, the young guys, Savali the other day, and then Plesac now. I think the reason they want to work hard is to stay here, obviously. But the other part of it is, I think they know that this team is a good ball club, and it has a recent tradition of winning division titles. They don't want to be part of the group that doesn't win a division title. They want to be part of what's really good here and be part of a winner and be a reason why it's a winner. And you really sense that, as much as they're working for themselves, they're trying to uphold what's been a very high standard here. And that's good. That's really good, because I think if you can take it off yourself and kind of make it as a team thing, sometimes it's a little bit easier, and that's what they're doing, and that's really encouraging from young players. Because sometimes for young players, it's all about just trying to survive, and you get the feeling with these guys that, they're trying to survive and all, but they're trying to do it in the context of trying to help the team and be a part of something that's been really good.
Absolutely. And to stick with the idea of, you know, great team morale and a great attitude. Rosie, even when the team was struggling, it really didn't seem like these guys panicked too much. I mean, especially early in the year, you have enough guys in that clubhouse that understand that it's a marathon, certainly not a sprint. Have you noticed a difference, maybe in attitude and atmosphere in the clubhouse over the last couple of weeks when things have really picked up?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And Jason Kipnis touched on that a little bit, too. He just said, you know, early in the year, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know that they were necessarily too worried about it. I think they figured at some point they'd play well because it's a long season. But with that said, it can be a struggle sometimes. There are a lot of hitters who weren't performing the way they normally do. And even though you always figure that you'll rise to the level that you've been at, until you do, you know, it's tough. And in some cases, they never did, and they're gone. Carlos Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez, Leonis Martin, they just never got it going, and they were moved. The young kids have come in and added some energy, and it is a different vibe in that clubhouse in a good way. And I know you mentioned Lindor commented on that. Kipnis definitely commented on that. There's a lot of good happening right now in there, and I think a good barometer. I mean, they suffered a nasty loss on, I mean, Tuesday night was a mess, and that was a bad loss. But it was kind of no big deal to these guys. You know, I mean, they looked at it as Brad Hand has had a tremendous, tremendous season. He had a bad night. So what? You know, you're not going to be perfect all year, and go out and get them the next day. And they did, and played a really good ball game on Wednesday to win. And now they're back at it. So that's a real positive, I think.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And, you know, if we could stick with that game on Wednesday for just a second here, because things could have really gone south. I mean, you lose a game the way you lost it on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, if you don't pick things up again and win that series, you know, there's a totally different narrative going into the game tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. But you think that it certainly benefited them playing a day game that very next day? Because, look, that's the beauty of baseball, right? I mean, you play so many games that if you have a bad day, well, you get to turn around and do it all over again the next night. And in this case, they had what? About 12 hours to get ready for that next game, and they quickly recovered and won, and now it seems like that Tuesday night loss is just a thing of the distant past.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I never really thought of it in those terms, if it would have made a difference if it was a night game or not. I know from a bullpen standpoint, Tito said it did make a difference in that he didn't have as much to go to. They were hurting yesterday out of that pen in terms of availability. But you know, maybe it was good just getting back out there, you know, in a quick turnaround day. And Trevor Bauer had a lot to do with it, and it's always good to have him on the mound, I think, in that situation. So, you know, a lot of things were probably in their favor to have a good bounce back, and it worked out.
Yeah, it certainly did. A series victory, and they are rolling right now. Well, Rosie, of course, the Indians and the Baltimore Orioles have at it tonight. Camden Yards, it's been a really tough season for the Orioles. A lot of folks certainly expected that. Mike Clevinger, back of the rotation, expected to make the start. As far as the expectation on the amount of work he's expected to put in, I think the last time we spoke when he was getting ready to pitch, I think we were thinking the pitch count would be somewhere in the area of 85 to 90 pitches. They were hoping to get five innings out of him. Then, of course, the twisted ankle and all that good stuff went down. Are the expectations somewhat the same, or can we expect him to go maybe a little bit deeper than that?
You know, I'm not sure. I talked to him yesterday. I should have asked him, Bull. But I mean, I think he wants to just do his normal routine, you know, whatever, however deep he can get into the game, he'd like to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of similar, 85 to 90, maybe. They don't want to overdo it because it is just his second start. But, if he's feeling good and throwing well and keeping the runs down, I think they'll let him go, you know, close to 100 maybe. But, you know, I'm sure they'll kind of see how the night's going. If there's some high-stress innings, they might get him out of there a little bit sooner.
Rosie, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy Baltimore. Enjoy the road trip. And we will talk to you again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thanks.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We're giving away two tickets. Call 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. We're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Detroit Tigers on Wednesday, July 17th, and the two tickets are yours if you are the first to call 440-322-0930. Again, it's courtesy of our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We need to get to a break. Matt and I will come right back after this here on AM 930 WEOL.